everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sparks, one of your hosts today, and I'm joined by Mashi Scanlon. As always, Mashi, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Gabby. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking. What have you been up to lately?
I'm seeing a lot of people get haircuts. I'm getting a little bit jealous.
I know, me too, man. Me too. Yeah.
But I have been doing a lot of cubing. I cracked in the arena cube. Sweet. Luis wrote an article for CFB Pro. I was begging him.
Oh, is it out already? Yeah, he told me. I knew when he was working on it. I actually wanted to read it. Yeah.
And I totally have selfish motivations for CFB Pro content where I'm like, oh, dude, you know, I really think an arena cube article is really popular. We should really get an arena cube article on CFB Pro. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, a few
days
later, I
was like, yes, it's all coming together.
And Luis knows what it is because, like a few hours before he emails it to me, he goes, hey, this is going to get published today. I'm like, yes. So I had one. I did one my first draft was doing a CFB happy hour on Zoom. And so that's everyone cool. was helping me pick. And it was really, really cool. That tech was awesome. It was like a green ramp tech. It did really, really well. And then my next two have been awful. I'm on my fourth deck. I will say this. No one ever wants to hear about your bad beats. I get it. But I drafted this awesome, awesome Esper deck. And one match, I just got legitimately blown out. I just got blown out by a super aggressive white weenie type deck. I was like, okay, fine, you win. And then the next two, I was going nuts because it was one of those where I drew all my blue and I had a bunch of dual land stuff. I drew all my blue and white mana sources and didn't draw any black. And then the third game, I drew all my blue and black and didn't draw any white.
That's obviously always how it works.
It was so bad. I wanted to change it, but I was like, no, this is right. I have seven white sources. I have seven black sources. I don't need more. this is enough. And But I'm loving it. I'm really seriously.
That's awesome. I've been cubing a lot too. I've been cubing on there's two cubes out right now. There's the Legacy cube on Magic Legacy. Online, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which was just previously preceded by the Pauper cube. Amazis Pauper cube was the cube. So we've just had a solid month and a half of cubing. So I am just so happy because it's my favorite format by so much. And then there's also the Arena Cubes out right now. And one of the cool things about the Arena Cube is I think this is a lot of people's first experience with Cube.
Definitely.
And I kind of got to see that also on my stream because I've had people come in and I think there's a lot of people who have watched me Cube the older formats on Magic Online, but they don't necessarily play Magic Online. But with mm-hmm. Arena Cube being out, they can come in and be like, oh, I've been cubing and I've been loving it. So... yeah, no, I was really happy to see that. I think the price to enter is a little steep, but I think the rewards are at least pretty good. Because remember the last one, Arena Cube Sealed, had awful rewards. They were really bad.
Yeah, they inched it up a bit. Yeah. This is a way better experience. This
much
is
better.
Way more
totally
fun.
Agree.
Way
I, more fun. I wish it were a little cheaper so that more people could. Because I think people also, the kind of newer Magic player we're seeing is more attached to the idea of I'm going to do a draft and I'm going to get to keep all my cards. I'll do this to grow my collection. Whereas cube draft, good luck. You're not getting anything out of it. You might get your entry back. And if you do, maybe you'll get an extra 2,000 gold or something, but you're not going to get any cards. So you're doing it for the love of it. You're not doing it for the rewards.
It's purely for fun.
Totally.
I do think one of the things that is difficult with maybe, I don't know if it's true for every limited format, but I definitely feel this way with cube is you get one for free. The problem with cube is I just feel like you can get blown out pretty bad if you don't know what you're doing.
Oh my gosh,
you're not incentivized to say, oh, well, let me try. Whereas me, I did well the first time and I actually didn't even know there was a free one. I legitimately paid for my first draft and then someone messaged me after the cocktail hour was like, did you know you have a free draft? I was like, I didn't even know. I just
That's
paid
amazing.
For it.
You know, I've actually heard from some people, they uninstalled Arena because they were cubing so much and they're like, I need to stop. I'll just delete the... I've heard that from multiple people.
I've definitely been last night before bed, I'm like, okay, because I had another terrible deck. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to draft, but then I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. And that's literally, you know, what happened to me last night. Any tips and tricks, any advice for the,
I actually think I might end up doing a very short video with just snippets of hey, this is what's going to make your cube life better. But just in general, one of the things that's true about cube that's not true about regular draft is that cube ends to be more archetype based. That said, the arena cube is still playing off of a kind of small card pool compared to the other cubes. So it's not just draft archetypes. It's more if it was a card that was busted in standard, it's probably pretty good in the cube as well. And you can mm-hmm. see that in cards that are like 2-for-1s. So getting cards that are 2-for-1s is good. Getting cards that used to be really good in standard is another good strategy. I wouldn't get too hung up on like which archetype you're drafting as much as like you're drafting a good quality of cards. Like that matters a lot. And then the last one is you just have to have like cheap plays. I think that's one of the things that happens to almost every cube player at some point in their cube experience is you just see these like amazing 5 drops and 6 drops and you're like, Chandra, Waken Inferno, that card was great. Elspeth Who Conquers Death, that card was great. Mm-hmm. And then you just end up with these decks with like really, really like big top end and not enough Remands, Ponders. I mean, these aren't actually in the Arena cube, but all the cheap spells and interaction, whether it be Doomblade and things like that. Even Doomblade's not like amazing because it's limited, but it's still... You still need to have that stuff because this cube, more than other cubes, also has a lot of aggro that's supported. So you need to make sure you have like sweepers or removal, like spot removal or creatures that can block things effectively. Otherwise, you get run over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When do you think this is, I think, one of the key questions. And I don't think Luis answered this in his article. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this during my drafts. When do you think you're locked in cube draft? Because you got to use almost all of these cards, right? There isn't a lot of overflow for the cube draft picks, like what you pick and what you play, because you know. So when do you think you're locked into an archetype or a color? I mean, you can always go 5 color.
I actually think I have a pretty good answer for this. I think you don't get locked very early because I think this maybe gets folded in with advice that you were asking about. I think people don't take lands as highly as they should.
Totally.
And having good mana in cube is like, it's not like drafting a limited deck. Like sometimes in the limited deck you're playing, I'm playing like my, you know, red, white Boros like aggro deck, and you might not have a single duel in the deck and it doesn't matter. Like in a game of limited, you can just play that and it's totally fine. And cube, because you are getting closer to constructed, I think this cube in particular has good mana, but it is difficult to play 3 colors. You do have to aggressively pick those lands. Mm-hmm. And you can even do things like, you can even play temples that are off color just to get the scry. Like that is something that you can do and I have done before. So because in the first pack you end up taking a lot more fixing, you're taking the cart, like the lands that I think will help you cast your spells and some powerful cards, it means that a lot of times when you go into pack 2, you're not locked into a color. Like a lot of times in pack 2, you might open something amazing like the first 2-3 picks, and then you just end up pivoting into that color as opposed to being 2 colors by the end of pack 1. And then you're like, oh, what do I do now? Like there's nothing for my archetype. Like you should just be a lot more flexible.
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually ended up with lands in the sideboards of all my decks because I value that. This, you know, a case. And the one time that Esper deck, I had the Fae of Wishes.
Yeah.
And I had like, I had a white green land and then like I think a black green land too. Cause at one point I was like, maybe I'll splash green.
Yeah.
So I could go in there and fix my mana, you know, if I ever drew it.
Yeah. This is totally a thing that happens in cube a lot. Like, especially in the older cubes, you just always take fetches because it has a lot of synergy with other things in the cube. You end up taking a lot of duels. So a lot of times you're like, all right, well, I'm a blue-white deck, but I might be Esper because if I get past this card, I'll end up playing it. Or like a lot of times you'll be like blue-red and you have a blue-red deck. And then you're like, well, if I get past Kolaghan's Command, I'm going to take that Badlands just in case, because there are some cards that are worth splashing for. So
I totally agree. It's a lot of fun. Everyone should check it out. I love that I haven't booted up Modo in years. And so this is like the most accessible cube has been to me in a while by my own choice, right? I can boot up.
Right. Modo of course.
But so yeah, I'm super excited about it. I love it. For anyone listening, really, really, encourage you to try it out. You have a free one. It's on the house. Give it a try. There's plenty of articles on cube out there. If you want a really good one specifically on this cube, check out that CFP Pro article by Luis. It's really good.
I would also recommend, because I now have been on my like cube journey for a while. Like now I consider myself a pretty experienced cube player, but you know, certainly was not the case a couple of years ago. Everybody goes through like the same kind of mistakes that they make in cube. And it was actually an episode of LR where Luis and Marshall kind of broke down, hey, this is how you can level up your cube experience. And I remember listening to that and being like, and all these things click together. So I know LR has also had, I think, 1 or 2 episodes that are like cube level up episodes that I would also very much recommend if you want to find a really good resource that goes very in depth into like how to pick and, you know, how to draft it better and how to not fall into like very easy traps and the differences between limited and cube, which are actually pretty different. So I would recommend
you're the second person to cite their like an LR cube episode.
It really leveled me up. Like they actually explained a lot of the things that I was doing wrong, and I had it. I didn't know I was doing them wrong until they said it. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Totally. Yeah. Those guys, I mean, it's a great podcast. If you haven't, if you like limited, and you don't listen to limited resources, do yourself a favor. You can start with M21. Although those set review episodes are, I've never made it all the way through.
I have made it through a very few, but they're super long. I mean, bless them for being the dedication to doing them, but it's hard. I've had the experience. Well, we've like really went off on a tangent. It's totally fine.
That's true.
I've had the experience of I have gone into like when I back when I was a newer player, I would listen to their set review, but I wouldn't make it all the way through the colors because it was so long. So when I got to the store, I would purposefully not pick a specific color because I didn't know any of the cards in that color.
Exactly. So if they went Ruberg, you were always drafting white blue.
Yeah, like, yeah. You were always like, I always end up in white blue. You're like, weird how I always play one of these colors because I would just not know any of the other colors because I just didn't have 5 hours to listen to it. So I listened to the first three or something.
I just want to make everyone aware of this. Gabby is not exaggerating. When she says 5 hours, those episodes
are like actually five hours. Yeah. It's outrageous.
Insane. So,
we've veered very far, I think both Mashi and I love cubes, so you can kind of get us talking about it for a long time.
Yeah, same.
Oh, before we get into the rest of the episode, just to tell you what's coming down the line, we're going to be talking about the PT, which was last weekend, and it was the first ever online PT. So we're going to, we got to follow some of the players, we got to watch coverage from home, so we're going to talk about that. There's also a new set that Wizards recently announced. We actually knew about the set from a while ago. It's called Jumpstart. It's a really cool idea. I am very excited about that set. And lastly, we're going to go over some Core 2021 full spoilers because the full spoiler's out. Specifically, we're going to go over the teasers that we got from Mauro and kind of where what ended up being some of the answers for it. We definitely got baited with some of them, but some of them Mashi. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm happy, but some of it I'm salty about.
Yeah, me too. Like, me too. Really? Well, we'll get to those. Before we go to that, we are going to do a shout out for channelfireball.com, the sponsor of this podcast. We talked about this in the previous, rub some TFB. before, in the last podcast, I want to say it might have been in the one right before too, we talked about Credit for a Cause, which is a cool thing that's going on till the end of this month. Basically, if you have Channel Fireball store credit, you can donate that credit to support one of three different charities. And it could be credit that you already have sitting there. It could be credit when you sell cards, if you like join if you join any of the bonanzas. Basically, when you check out, you can select one of the three following initiatives. You can choose the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, the Trevor Project, and WHO COVID-19 Response Fund. So wide variety of charities that you could support. It's just a cool way to support charity if you already have some store credit there, basically. So I love it. I think it's a really good idea. I want more people to know about it because it's really sweet. I like that you guys are doing this.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And I'm, you know, it behooves us to say, hey, sell us cards. But where I think like the best part is like, if you just have store credit sitting on the website, like it's not doing anything for you. I mean, sure, maybe you want to spend it on something later, but let's just say it's been there for a while. Like just donate it if you want. Like right. You don't need to do any other action. You know, it's just sitting on the website. It's not doing anything. You know, you can just donate it. I think that's what I love.
Yeah, so. I think it's awesome. If you want to go check it out, it's on channelfireball.com/charity. And then you can learn more about it /how to donate your store credit if you have any. I know sometimes like you end up having store credit in places and you don't even know. So if you don't know, you could go check and see if you have a balance and then do something good, you know?
Yeah, I'm totally with it. I think it's a great, great thing. So check it out.
Yeah. So then lastly, just this one's a short snippet. Yeah.
Of course.
I got it. There is another CFB showdown, the CFB Pro Showdown. We talked about the one that Luis was on. Actually, I think he was on the podcast to talk about how he was fighting.
He defended the honor of the dojo.
He defended the store credit last time. But next up is Reed Duke. So CFB's not making it easy for anyone who wants to try to play in the showdown and actually take it down. You're playing against Hall of Famers, some of the best players in the world. But it's also cool. You're playing against Hall of Famers, some of the best players in the world. So if you make it all the way to the end, you'll get to fight against Reed. And if you defeat Reed, everybody in the top eight will have their prize doubled. So,
and this is a totally free tournament. The only catch is you've got to be a member of CFP Pro.
Yeah.
So join CFP Pro. And it's really, I know it's hard to describe because there's a lot of discussion and stuff in the CFP Pro Discord, which, by the way, is an awesome place to hang out just in general. And I'm not in there every day. And then I go back every once in a while. And I'm like, because people just talk about, it's not like, hey, what's going on? People talk about,
yeah, it's really active. It's sweet.
It's really, yeah, really cool spot. The vibe of this tournament's fun. It's a really fun tournament to be a part of and be around just to hang out during. I don't know. That probably doesn't make very much sense until you like play in it, but
I heard a lot of really positive feedback from the tournament because I think it just feels kind of like a free roll in some ways. You already have CFP Pro. You have all the benefits of having CFP Pro. You get to be part of the Discord. Like, these are all benefits. And this is just kind of like an extra thing you get to play in if you want. You don't have to play in it. No one's telling you what to do. But if you're already at home and you're already reading CFP Pro content and you're probably interested in these formats, like, why not play in the tournament for CFP Pro? So that's coming up on June 27th, which is next Saturday. So if you do battle in that, good luck.
Yep, good luck to everybody.
Maybe I'll be able to join this one. Last time I went hiking, but I don't think I have an excuse to miss this one. I'm actually playing in the MCQ this weekend, Mashi.
Yeah, you mentioned that before we went live. So what deck are you playing?
I think Team Erek. But I have to, I didn't realize it was this weekend. I actually thought it was next weekend. So I have to jam a little bit, but I'll report back next week with how it goes.
That deck is not, I don't know. I think it's the best deck in the format. In fact, I know it's the best deck in the format. It is the best deck in the format, but I would not want to
There's a quality of life improvement in the deck, which is using QQ on Arena. Do you know what QQ does?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So if you're listening to this podcast that you don't know, you're welcome for this. If you tap QQ while you're on Arena, it automatically taps all your lands. So for a deck like Team Erek, where you had to go like tap, 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 tap really slowly, it was horrible. Now you can just go QQ and it taps everything. And then you can decide what you do with your mana. So that made the deck a lot more playable.
Four Brazen Bar remain. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, it is. It's good. Brazen Bar is good. It's good right now.
I think you got to.
Yeah.
Bounce those shark tokens in the mirror. But good luck. I hope you take it down.
Thanks.
There's a great deep dive article.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get up to speed. So luckily I got to, I mean, you know what? This segues us really nicely into our first topic for today. The PT, which was last weekend. That's the Players Tour, which was last weekend.
Yeah.
And there is another Players Tour going on this weekend as well because it's staggered. Exactly. So as you all know, the regular Players Tour didn't happen like in person because of COVID-19. So now there was a change for it to be run on Arena. And we got to see the first PT basically last weekend. How was it, Mash? What'd you think?
It was okay. So experientially, I think it was a great idea. You know, the idea of ride along, there were some production issues. And I say that being, you know, like I'm in all the slacks because we were the ones running, Channel Fireball and CFP events. We were running all the production, for the event. I guess it was Channel Fireball. And so I know they ran into some issues. One of our producers just got, you know, didn't quite have the memory in his laptop and actually was hitting some internet issues. And so it caused some speed bumps. And so there were a rough few hours of, you know, I think it was about 3 hours where it was pretty touch and go. I felt bad for the team because it's hard to triage someone's laptop remotely and internet issues you just can't do anything about.
Yeah.
I think they changed a lot of the system because like the way it works is coverage. There's so many layers to it where they're sucking in one match that they're not watching. They're sucking in another match that everybody's watching. And as soon as, so you got to have one match that you're recording that nobody's watching. You have another match that everybody's watching and you're just trying to get all the commentators lined up with that. Mm-hmm. And then when that ends, they got to bring in the other match. And they also have all the commercials and everything queued up. So it's a huge, I could never do it. It just crosses my mind.
I felt for both. So first of all, obviously this was a shame because, you know, like people are excited to watch the PT and the first couple of hours were pretty rough. I felt pretty bad for both person was producing it because that just sounded like a really rough time. I also felt bad for the commentators because when like, you know, you're having tech issues, you're just kind of like sitting there trying to power through. I've done this. Like I've been in that spot before. And you just kind of have to be like, all right, I don't even know if people can hear me or like if any of this makes sense, but I'm just going to keep doing the thing. But it is hard to kind of like get into it when you're in that spot. That said, it sounds like, you know, things kind of picked up and got better as it advanced. They picked up.
We moved stuff. We moved producers just out of necessity.
Yeah.
And I think we know some of the producers have different, setups, mm-hmm. different rigs and setups that are probably better able to handle this with more consistent internet. So we've just made changes that way. And we've got a few extra people on call just in case, so we can make that quick switch as soon as we need to.
If you need to, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, that seems awesome. So that's going to kick in for this weekend, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's already, and everything's been tested and I feel bad for those guys. Cause kind of like, there's long days on the weekends. And then after an experience like that, like the first thing on Monday is your postmortem. And it's like, what happened?
What happened? Why did it happen? Hey guys, let's what happened?
and then now we're testing it, right? Like I want to run it again. Right. You tell me it's not going to happen again. Let's run it. We'll run it with different streams. Like show me. I'm very confident in the setup now.
Yeah. That's awesome. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important to acknowledge like, hey, you know, production last weekend was not up to snuff and it got better, definitely. But also I remember when I tuned in at the beginning and I was like, oh, wow. Cause it was just, you know, like it's the kind of problem you would have with a rig that wasn't mm-hmm. like the specs weren't up to standard or you were having connection issues, which are the connection issues you like sometimes can't control. Like I've definitely run into that. It happens all the time. But also when your computer can't handle it, it's also very hard to rally from that spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I got a new laptop just because of that. I was going so crazy.
New laptop time. So that was kind of the like bummer from last weekend. But the thing that was actually cool was this was probably the biggest online tournament that, in terms of stakes too, because mm-hmm. I know there's been like the Red Bull tournament and there's been some other like, there's been other tournaments that have been run online, but this is the biggest, I want to say this is the biggest stakes. Has there been anything bigger?
I think this is the biggest online, purely 100% online one. I think
this is the first one that's all totally online. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. And I mean, especially when you start counting things like future eligibility for the MPL, although is all that, I candidly can't follow what's frozen, what's not frozen.
Know.
Yeah. Okay. I always think like, once you start counting anything like that, if it's part of the calculus, the stakes go so far up, mm-hmm. right? You know, because it's not just the money that you make being a part of the MPL. It's all of the free roll tournaments and EV you get out of being, you know, put into those tournaments. So yeah, I think it is the biggest purely online Magic tournament that there's ever been.
And it was cool watching it because it wasn't just, you didn't just have to watch it with production if you wanted to. There were a bunch of people who were also streaming the entirety of the tournament. So Luis, for example, he was streaming with a 2-minute delay, I want to say. And with a real chat. But some other people, like I know Mengu, for example, this weekend, I think he's going to be streaming it with no delay.
No delay. He's put mm-hmm. that in Slack. He's like, and I mean, he asked, he's like, hey guys, yeah, I know you did this, but I want to do it with no delay. God bless you, Mengu.
But that's exciting. Yeah. Like I think the other person I was watching also was Ali, who top eighted, Ali Warfield. Mm-hmm. In the top
congratulations, eight. Congratulations, Mythic Lubo.
Yeah. So she was streaming it with no delay. And I think maybe emote only chat or something. She wasn't talking. She was just streaming her side.
Yeah.
And she made it to the top four, I want to say, but it was just cool to know that like, hey, the PT is going on right now. And you know what? We can also just go watch and see how some of the people are doing. Like I watched all of Luis's stream. I was there the entire day. Like I was doing other stuff too. Like, but at different points I was going out and gardening and I had the laptop with me just to see how his PT was going. And
yeah.
I don't know. It was just so cool.
It looked good for a while. I mean, Luis, he never, I hate him because he never loses early. Like if you're going to lose, just lose early, dude.
Yeah. Nah, he was he started out really strong and then just the last, I think he went 1-4 at the end of the day. So not, or one.
No, one.
He finished day one.
How many rounds were there?
I think it was nine on the first day.
Or was it that it might have been 1-4 because he was 4-0 and I was like, oh my gosh, are we gonna do this?
He was doing it, yeah. And then the other thing that was really cool is we had we have a little like Discord chat with some of our friends here in Denver. And so that I was just always in that chat, and it was I was there, but I was muted. So when people finished, they could come in. So like BK would sometimes come in and be like, hey, I just finished my match. I won. And we'd, you know, like talk about how his tournament was going. So it was kind of similar. It was like the online version of, you know, when you go to a Grand Prix and you like meet up with your friends after your round is done. Yeah. And you just kind of like mess around for a little bit. It was the same. It was the same. So Luis would come sometimes. No, Luis couldn't actually because he was streaming. The next day he could. And then BK would come in whenever he was done and be like, hey, I won this round, or I didn't win this round. BK actually did really well.
I was just going to ask, how did he do?
I can't remember his final record, but he just like did solid the entire weekend. It was sweet.
I feel bad for BK. Nobody knows who BK is. He's
BK is so good.
Pro. He would have been in the MPL. He actually turned it down, right? He chose not to join the
MPL. I believe BK is the only person who turned down the MPL. Nobody else did.
I thought there was...
Oh, no. There might be one more person who turned it down.
There was one more person. You're right. I can't remember who.
But there were only two people. This is in the original batch of MPL that happened like 4 years ago or something. Right, how long ago was the actual MPL now? 2 years? Like the first group of people who joined the MPL. It was like 2 years ago, right?
Gabby, that's the before times, man.
I know. I don't remember life before.
Yeah, it's been so long. I don't even remember.
But yeah, in the original group of people who were invited to join the MPL, BK chose to decline because he works for Direwolf Digital. He likes his job a lot here. He's like very dedicated to it. And he couldn't keep doing that job and also be in the MPL. So he turned it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a little, I don't know. You know BK way more than I do. My assumption was a lot of that also had to do with the fact, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I'm sure he had no idea what was going to happen to the Players Club. He was a Platinum Pro. He had a bunch of benefits, and I don't know if he knew what was going to happen with all the invites and everything.
I feel very confident that he feels good about his decision and that it was a good decision for him.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. It probably was. I think that's the only part that sucks is like if he made that decision not realizing what.
Yes, I mean I do think that happened. Like I think everybody who was like platinum and liked that kind of like doing that, like going to tournaments, you know, trying to get status, doing all that stuff. I think that did get pulled underneath, like the rug got pulled from underneath them for sure. Yeah. But I also still strongly believe that that was probably the right decision for him. I think he's, you know, like very happy at his job and he's very good at what he does. And I don't think he would, knowing what he knows now, he still wouldn't have gone back and done it.
Good for him then.
Yeah.
I'm glad that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people wanted BK to regret it. I think people would always ask him like, oh, do you regret it now? And he was still just like, no, I just want people to stop asking me about it because I really don't.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I'm happy to hear he doesn't. So that's good. I just feel bad because like I know BK through you and Luis, and I know how good he is at Magic, and I feel like nobody knows. Like
BK's great. Also, he's just like a really good guy. So
No, he's awesome. He's a super sweet guy. Yeah. I agree with you. So
that was a little bit of the PT. Wow, this Magic FM episode, we're just like off on the furthest possible tangent.
It's like everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was exciting, kind of living the dream. I really hearken it back to why we started Channel Fireball, which was wanting to see gameplay videos. Because like now there's Magic videos on every website that does Magic content, I feel like. But at the time there wasn't. And so the genesis of the idea was, hey, what if you could be watching over the shoulder of a pro while they're drafting or while they're playing Constructed. And maybe they talk through their thoughts and tell you why they're doing this and why they're doing that. And this is like almost the next level where it's like, yeah, these aren't just instructional videos. You're on a ride along for the real thing.
Yeah.
This is it. It's game time. This is the serious game time. And you get to look right over my shoulder while I'm playing in the Players Tour. And I think that aspect of it is awesome. I think it's also a great move in terms of, you know, entertainment. I feel like every entertainment vehicle, like sports, movies, TV, you have to know how your audience wants to consume your content and what new ways it's finding, right? So like at one point it was renting stuff at Blockbuster, and then it became getting stuff sent to you in the mail, and then it became streaming on TV. And that's like it used to be cable TV, now it's streaming TV. And like with a lot of sports, for instance, it used to be like, well, you just waited and you watched it every week. And then you know, fantasy sports came, and then daily fantasy sports. And then it's like with Magic, it's just kind of like people watch streams. That's how a lot of people want to consume their Magic content, and creating the vehicle for the audience to do that opens it up so much. And guess what? I don't just have to wait there and hit refresh on the sideboard online or on wizards.com and hope that my favorite player gets a feature match. I can just watch him play.
Yeah. I will say that, look, there's a lot of our life now because of COVID-19 is like so different. I think there's so many things that are so much worse. But there are silver linings, and I actually think that if this was all going to happen, like if this is the world that we were going to live in anyway, yeah, maybe we didn't have the cool coverage that you get, because coverage is, you know, a pretty cool production and it's really well done. And it didn't happen in person. People didn't get to travel anywhere. Yeah, that all stinks. But it was very cool to watch like people's pro tours. And I am looking forward. I'm going to be birding Mengu's pro tour this weekend. Like, I think that part is actually pretty cool. So take at least a silver lining of like, hey, it's not all bad. We don't know when is this ever going to happen again? It might never happen again. So at least we got to watch people play their pro tour from home, because at least that part was sweet.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And yeah, I'm totally with you. Getting that, you know, getting to actually watch top players compete.
Yeah, it was really sweet. It was really, really cool. Yeah, it was like having a feature match every round.
Exactly. Yeah. And you get to choose the player you want to watch. So that was great. And yeah, if you missed it last weekend, I encourage anyone, just check it out. Just drop in. You don't have to commit the whole day. You can follow your favorite streamer or just check it out. I think it's on the Magic stream.
Yeah, it's on the Magic stream. And if like there's many people who are streaming it, so you can probably just ask some of your favorite pro players if they're going to be streaming it, because they might be.
Yeah, that's the best part.
So. Next up, we have this is a pretty cool product. And I did not even remember that this was announced, Mashi. It's a new Magic product called, it's a new Magic set, and it's called Jumpstart. So what is Jumpstart? Jumpstart is basically kind of what I wish would have existed for Magic when I first got into it. The idea is that you have these packs with cards that are, they all have different themes. It could be anything. It could be like unicorns, it could be pirates, it could be rainbows, there's like a, dogs. There's like,
Reanimator, Minions, I think is one of them. There's like a whole bunch of
totally random. I think there's 30 some, let me open the page real quick, 46 themes. It can be dogs, pirates, rainbows. Some even have multiple versions. And the idea is you grab two of those, mash them, like you like shuffle them together, and that's your deck. And then you do that against somebody else who does the exact same thing. And it's like they've all been curated cards. There are actually some new cards in these sets. So it's not just like vanilla cards that you would see in like a core set. And the idea is that you're able to play Magic very quickly by doing this. Like you just like mash them together and boom, you're ready to go. So this is a little different than dual decks, because dual decks, I think, is kind of like the predecessor to this idea. And dual decks are fun, but it's, you know, dual decks, Sorn versus Tibble, and they don't change. Like it's always just Sorn versus Tibble, right? Whereas this, you can actually buy a box and then just put your, you know, like your packs together and then play. And you're going to get a very different experience every time.
You get a different experience. And the problem with all of the Sorin versus Tibble, all of them, is without question, one of them is just a better deck. That's always. And that ruins the experience, right? Because you don't want it to be like, you want very evenly matched decks. And I'm not saying that they're not evenly matched. Some of them are like really, really bad matchups. But this is great because it keeps it fresh. You get some friends involved, and you can play like, you know, from a learn to play experience, it's something new. It exposes you to different colors. It exposes you to different decks, and it can be much more evenly matched.
Yeah. Right? And archetypes and combos, like these all have been thought out in advance.
Mm-hmm. And they're different, right? Like if Sorin versus Tibble, I don't know what's in those decks, but if there isn't a reanimate strategy, you're not familiar with that concept. And it's not just about reanimating. It's about using the graveyard as a resource. That's like a key thing to learning how to play the game of Magic, you know, and you want those things not to be unlocked in a very gentle way. You got to take baby steps there, right? But I think being able to bring those other contours to the game, like having a burn deck where it's like, wait a minute, this isn't just creature removal, this is killing my opponent. Or wait a minute, this isn't just killing my opponent, this is creature removal too. And like, you know, all these other ways that you can experience different colors of Magic. When I learned to play, you mentioned you wish that you had a product like this when you learned to play. When I learned to play, this was back in like 90.
God, careful, Mosh, you're going to date yourself.
I know. It was like, I think it was like 93. Seriously. I think it was seventh grade. And I went to a buddy's place and he literally had a stack of cards. And he's like, oh, I've learned this. I'm going to teach you this game. It's called Magic. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And he hands me like just, I don't know how many cards, 100 plus easy cards. And he's like, here, you can have the black deck. And it was literally every black card he'd opened. And he's like, I'll play white. White and black are enemies. And it was every white card he opened. And like with lands. And that's how we played. And we played like all night. Like I just could not get enough of playing it. I remember that. But that's literally what we did, is he had cracked a bunch of packs. And just like he would crack a pack and have a pile for each color. And then everything that's in the black pile went into the black deck. Everything in the red pile went into the red deck. I mean, that's how I learned to play Magic.
Yeah. No, yep. This is so cool because I do feel some amount of burnout with just the non-main sets. Like it feels like there's just been so much from Wizards for so long. So one day, I think when they did the Jumpstart announcement, because Wizards had teased that this product was coming a long time ago and I forgot about it. And I saw, I'm like, oh my God, there's another set, Jumpstart. What is this? Like I had that reaction of like,
so did I.
Man, I don't know. And then I saw what it was and I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. This is the product that I was actually very excited for, because I just think it's so cool for it to exist in Magic. Because when I started playing, it was a little similar to yours, actually, Mashi. Do you remember this product used to be called the Deck Builder's Toolkit?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah. So that product has been discontinued, sadly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what it was is you bought a box of cards. It came with a bunch of, like to be honest, like pretty crappy commons. Like some uncommons and maybe like one or two rares. But the idea is that you got this whole box of cards. Because when you're new to Magic, you just need cards, right? It's not like it's not like the people who go to FNM and they're like, oh, I don't want this giant spider. I don't need this for my collection. Or at that point, you have a giant spider and you're like, hook me up, man. Yes, this is great. No,
you absolutely take
it. We're making it 2-4. Love it.
And by the way, I just real quick, for those who, I mean, I know this is probably happening now because of COVID, but if you're an FNM and there's a new player and there's a bunch of cards that you don't want, don't throw them away.
Just give it to the new player. It's so much better. Yeah.
And they're going to appreciate it. And that's another Magic. That's another member of our community, right? And you literally are probably going to throw those cards away or get up and leave them. Like, find someone who's new to Magic and give them those cards.
Yeah, so much better. I love that. I love doing that. But that's basically like Jumpstart is kind of what we did with the Deck Builder's Toolkit, except we put a bunch of work into it. We opened the Deck Builder's Toolkit and then we were like, okay, let's sort the cards by colors. And then, you know what we did is we made one deck of each color. So we had the like Stompy deck, which was a mono green deck. And we had the like mono black vampires deck, which is the deck I played. And then we had No Fun Dot deck, which was a blue white deck with counter spells, you know, that sort of stuff.
That is no fun.
Yeah, which at that time to me was no fun, but now look at how everything's changed.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it's come around full circle.
They got you. Now that's your deck. You're like, is there like a blue white control here? Yeah. Blue black, I'll settle for mono blue in a pinch. Like, what do you got for me?
But this is so cool. This is basically recreating that experience in a way that's really easy. Where if somebody doesn't know where to get started in Magic, is you can just point them at Jumpstart and say, like, this is perfect. Just buy a box of this and play with your friend, and just every time you're ready to play something new, because it's gonna be new every time. Because if there's 46 different themes, that means you're gonna open the unicorn one and the next one's gonna be the pirate one. And you got pirate unicorns combo, baby, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Look, the thing about Magic, it's a very complex game, and that's a blessing and a curse. That's why those who've played it for a long time, like you and I, we love the game, because every new set, there's another layer, there's more richness and depth to it. But guess what? It is a pain to teach. I still think the best way to teach Magic is on Arena. Just here, do the tutorial. But I love that Wizards is making products for new players, making products specifically targeted. And they've done it before. There's been things like the Deck Builder's Toolkit. There's Starter was a set.
Yeah, the dual decks too. Those still exist. They kind of fulfill the same purpose, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. This to me is the best version of this that I've seen. Like this is the one that I wish I would have been able to be introduced with. Not that I have any problem with the Deck Builder's Toolkit. Like obviously I have very fun memories of it because that's how I learned how to play. But this just sounds, this sounds so much fun that I could see myself like wanting to just play this for fun at a Grand Prix, whereas I would not want to play decks made out of Deck Builder's Toolkit at a Grand Prix. Like, I just don't see that.
You could totally see that at a Grand Prix where it's like, hey, I got a box of these. You want to grab
two packs? Yes, you'd just be like, of course, let's play. That sounds super fun. Awesome.
And I also like the fact that this is it's funny because we were talking about Cube earlier. Mm-hmm. This is also a soft introduction to Limited too.
Yeah, right? A little bit.
Grab two packs, build your deck. It's almost like a sealed deck, but not quite. And I like that aspect of it too, because I think that like players like myself, I didn't draft for a long time. Now, granted, the first draft I ever saw was Fourth Homelands Fallen Empires. I think that was the format. Mm-hmm. It was awful. The set was not made. These sets were not made to be drafted, right? I think it was like Mirage Block is the first one that's actually made to be drafted. But and I was very intimidated by it. And so I think breaking that down a little bit is really, really good for new players. Constructed feels easier than, oh my God, I got to open this. I got to pick a card. I got to pass it, do all that stuff. So I like breaking down that barrier. But more than anything, as I've said, I love the idea of a new marketing to new players. Let's get new players playing.
Yeah, I think awesome. That's awesome.
Let's find a way to engage players like you and I into that process, which they've done, I think.
Yeah, I think if being able to do a set that is clearly targeted for new players that gets even like people who have been with them for 7+ years, or 5+ years, whatever, 25+ years. if you're able to like pique that interest in everyone, I think that's a pretty cool thing. Obviously, it's not like this is not going to be like a hugely replayable set. I'm obviously not going to go around like streaming this every day, but mm-hmm. I am legitimately excited about this product. I think it's really cool and I'm happy that it exists. And it actually, I think, is going to be so there's a arena release, which is going on July 16th, so in a month-ish, and a tabletop release, which is on July 17th. The arena mm-hmm. release I read has a couple of cards that are going to appear in paper that won't in arena. So like some of the packs are a little different, but for the most part, I think it's going to be the same experience.
Did you hear why?
No, why was it?
Because the reason I heard is because they'll break historic.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
And I couldn't tell if it was a programming they'll break historic or no, they're just too good to be in historic.
I think they might be too good for historic because
that's what I think too.
All these cards are legal in eternal formats. So it's going to be legal in Legacy, Vintage, and Commander.
And historic.
Yeah. Oh, weird. So that would make sense. That's not what their website says, but that would make sense. That would make sense because they're on Arena.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it should. I thought it was going to be Legacy, Pioneer, Modern, and Historic, but maybe I'm wrong.
This is just what their website says. Like,
we'll have to update the show notes.
Maybe, it just says all cards are legal in Eternal formats, Legacy, Vintage, and Commander.
Look, Gabby, I read a lot of things and I repeat them and I really don't fact check the way I should.
I guess we'll figure it out. But that is what their website says.
I'm with you. I'm totally, totally with you. But that I had heard that was why there were some complications with historic and that's why there's a difference between the online card pool and the physical card pool.
That's a little bit about Jumpstart. I think this is really sweet. I am excited for this to come out. Like I said, I was very skeptical when I first saw there was a new set. I was like, oh my gosh, no more.
Oh, it was preview attrition, right? Like I saw the first
previews were just happening and I'm like, wait, we're also seeing Jumpstart previews. What is this? And I was like, okay, we're good.
At first I was like, okay, we've gone too far. Every day can't be a preview season.
Yeah, you can't just keep previewing things nonstop.
Right. And then I realized what it was. So, okay, I'm good with it.
Super sweet. All right, so that's that is Jumpstart, which is coming next month. Basically, we'll get to update people. I'm definitely going to be playing it on Arena at least, so we'll bring some updates on what that was like.
I like that.
For the last segment today, we wanted to talk about Core 2021 because a full spoiler is out. And if you listened to our episode, not last week but the week before, we had Mark Rosewater. He does on his Blogatog, which is his like Tumblr blog post where he posts about he answers a lot of questions about magic, design, mm-hmm. all sorts of things. He wrote an entire list of things that were like kind of teasers to cards that were going to be in Core 2021. And Mashi and I, we went through that list and we took guesses as to what we thought each one of those things would be. And now mm-hmm. we actually know the answers. So I did want to give a huge shout out to Third Gatekeeper, a member of my... stream community who put together the answers for this, which was very helpful. So thank you so much, Gatekeeper.
That was third Gatekeeper. I'm dumbfounded because this is something that I wanted to talk about. Because as cards were coming out, I was like, hey, I think we got some of these right. And I'm like, gotta go back and listen. I just couldn't find time to go back and listen. So when Gabby and I were talking about it, she's like, no, someone in my Discord did this. So thank you so much. That is so awesome that you did that.
Yeah, they crushed really it. It's amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much, Gatekeeper. Yeah. Really appreciate it. So now we actually get to go because Mashi, we got some of these right and some of them we were really off. And some of them were kind of like debate. Like some of them were
I was heated. I was like, that's dirty pool. That is not okay. That is not okay.
All right. So let's you want to take us through these real quick?
All right, here we go. So we had a brand new planeswalker from a plane we visited, and I believe I was pushing for Dominaria, or was this my pushing for Kamigawa? I can't remember.
So I'm trying to remember. I think I thought it was going to be someone from Zendikar.
Oh, that's right. I think they were going to take us to Zendikar.
So I was like, oh, yeah. I know. The plot hook is that we're going to get a new planeswalker. And then mm-hmm. they're going to be like, yo, there's also a problem at Zendikar. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Instead, we got Basri Ket from Amonkhet, right?
Yeah. So Basri Ket is from Amonkhet. I can read you the card real quick.
Not exciting. I don't think this card's very exciting at all. I'm not a fan of Basri.
Basri Ket is a 3-mana planeswalker. It's colorless white-white. Starts with 3 loyalty. Has a +1 ability. Put a +1/+1 counter on up to 1 target creature. It gains indestructible until end of turn. Has a -2. Whenever one or more non-token creatures attack this turn, create that many 1/1 white soldier creature tokens that are tapped and attacking. And then a -6, which is the ultimate, you get an emblem with at the beginning of your combat on your turn, create a 1/1 white soldier creature token, then put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Yeah, I can't say I'm like super enthused about this, Mosh. It's like, it's a cheap planeswalker, so obviously it's not gonna be like, I mean, I was gonna say there's not that many good 3-mana planeswalkers, but that's not true. Oh, there's so many really good.
There is this
that's
guy.
That's not true anymore. It wasn't true as of like a year ago.
You have to get before War of the Spark, right?
Yes, before War of the Spark, I think we didn't have that many like completely outrageous 3-mana planeswalker, but now there's a lot.
We had Liliana. Okay. She was completely outrageous.
She was very good. She was one of the best planeswalkers for a long time.
Jace Beleren was good in type 2, but or standard.
Jace
Beleren
does not hold a candle to the Okos and Narsets Teferi Time Ravelers of the world.
That's true. I guess Lily's probably the... I'm trying to think
it's just Lily, I think.
There might be
other ones that are like not bad, but it's not Teferi Time Raveler, Narset, Oko levels of...
Just bananas.
Ridiculousness.
Nonsense.
Yes, exactly. So that's Basri Ket, but... he's got a cool like controlling the sands look going to him. So I'm interested to learn about the lore of this planeswalker.
No, he's pretty cool. I'm gonna skip around here a bit because there's some that the one that we really nailed thanks to you was a +1/+1 tribal lord for a creature type that's never had one, a creature type with over 50 cards already in print. And of course, you nailed that one, Gabby.
Boom! It feels good, man. So
it was you. You did a lot of research and stuff into it too. I thought you really had this one down cold.
So the funny thing is, if you didn't listen to that episode, I live while we were on the podcast went on Gather to search to see if there were 50 cards.
Oh yeah, you got this wrong, right?
Yeah. Like so you know what thing, I right? did? I found out what I did. Because some people corrected me afterward. They're like, I know what happened. Why you didn't see it? I searched in Gather and I searched for Hound, but it looked for cards that had Hound in the name. Not creature type. That's why we only saw like 25. There were over 50 dogs, but only 50 had Hound. It was like Hound Mastiff or something, you know, like they
just had.
So
what you got there though, pack leader, was because Gabby called it for the dog, one white, one other for a 2/2. Other dogs you control get +1/+1. Whenever pack leader attacks, prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn to dogs you control.
Yeah, that was so cool. Also, have you seen the flavor text of that card?
Oh, no. What is the flavor text? I just navigated off.
It was really cute. I can pull it up. It's so cute. All right. Here's Pack Leader. He will be your Okay, here it is. He will be your loyal companion and his pack your protectors. All he asks for is a full belly, a spot by the fire, and all the love in your heart.
Oh my God. It's so too cute. Much.
Too wholesome for that you.
That is very cute.
The pack leader is actually the pet on Arena this time around. So like if you get the mastery pass, you get that same dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's super cute.
Wow. Are you going to play a dog theme deck?
Yeah, for sure. I love dogs so much. Even if it's just a joke, I'm sure I'm going to do it.
Oh my gosh. Well, we got the, actually there is art. There's another piece of art that broke my heart. I'll find it, but we'll move on with this right here. The next one we actually got right. A character with a Vanguard card and a legendary creature card gets a second of the latter.
You and guessed Baron, right? I had no idea. You guessed Baron though.
It was between Baron and Rain, who are a couple, that husband and wife, and they both died when during the Fire Exit invasion of Talaria. This is Invasion. The set Invasion is where these characters die. But yeah, we're back on Dominaria. Teferi's a Time Mage, flashbacks, whatever. But Baron, yeah, I was super happy.
So is that the deal with this plane? I guess I haven't looked at what the story is going to be. So like, does Teferi travel back in time and all the people who are dead now get a new Planeswalker card?
I have no idea. I thought maybe it was just a flashback because Baron was his teacher. He's like, a lot of people say that there's a card, Disruptive Student. That's a young Teferi on it because the flavor text indicates it's about Teferi.
I see.
And he's at Talarian Academy. And Baron is, you know, Baron was a teacher there. Rain was the Academy Chancellor. You know, Hannah Ship's Navigator is their daughter. So there's a lot of lore tie-ins.
That's cute. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, even though I am not very excited about like Teferi as a card, I am excited. Like there's a lot of cool stuff with this, with like the flashback or like learning about some of the old characters too.
Yeah, I think that part's always fun. I've always been a fan of that. Let me see. I'm going to cherry pick and look at the ones we got right. Oh my gosh. Okay. there was an aura inspired from a cycle from Urza's Saga block. And it said Urza's Saga block. I think for some reason I got it in my head that it was Urza's Saga only, not Urza's block. And you remember you kept saying Rancor, it's Rancor, it's Rancor.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's in Legacy. So Rancor was a good answer. You could have gone with Rancor. But because I had Saga on the brain, I went with the Embraces. And it turns out it was the Embraces. And the answer there was Demonic Embrace. Which is definitely styled after the Embrace cycle from Urza's Saga. Let me pull up Demonic Embrace right now. It is 2 black, 1 other for a creature enchantment. Enchanted creature, enchanting creature gets +1/+3/+1, has flying and is a demon in addition to its other types. You may cast Demonic Embrace from your graveyard by paying 3 life and discarding a card in addition to paying its other costs. So we got that one right. Yeah. What else did we? Oh,
we got this one right. Oh man, okay. This one we had no idea what it was, but we actually did. God, a French vanilla mythic rare was Baneslayer Angel.
I think we screwed up the definition for French vanilla because I'm dead serious. Hand to God, I was thinking like, when we were having this discussion, I was like, is Baneslayer Angel? Does Baneslayer Angel count?
Oh, you considered Baneslayer?
I think we defined French vanilla in a way that made me dismiss it. Like I didn't think it would have counted as a French vanilla. So I think I just misunderstood because I don't think we defined it wrong. I think that somehow in my brain, because I remember thinking, what about Baneslayer and saying, that doesn't fit the definition of a French vanilla character.
I mean, yeah, it's basically like French vanilla is. It has a keyword that's basically like it's not very meaningful. It's just like more flavorful than anything. Like, so this is a text of Baneslayer Angel. It is 3 colorless white for a 5/5. Flying, first strike, lifelink, protection from demons and dragons. So flying, first strike, and lifelink, those are all just like very normal keywords. And then the part of protection from demons and dragons is like, yes, she has this ability, but no, it's not like, it doesn't come up very often. So that's what a French vanilla is. But
I never even considered it.
I don't know why. It just didn't even occur to me.
I definitely had it in the back of my brain. Because I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I'm cheating when I say that because I was thinking, okay, what are the white, like kind of plainish mythics that we've seen historically? And so that's why it came up that way. I'm trying to find this other dog. There's another dog that.
Oh my God. I know which one you're talking about. Is it the one mana one one?
The one that you sacrifice?
Yes. Oh my God. It's that one. I don't remember what it's called.
Have you seen the flavor text for that one?
It's too. Yes. It's too much. It's too real.
And the how happy the dog looks in the art. And it's like you sack it to like, it's like protecting you. And I was like, this is heartless. If you sacked it, I would rather die.
Never touch the dog.
I'll take the L. I am not sacking this dog.
Let me see if I can find it. Let me see.
And I actually meant to slack you because I was like, what the heck is up with this card? Like, no.
It's so sad. Here it is. I found it. It's called Selfless Savior.
Selfless Savior, yeah.
Let me tell you, this is one of the cards I'm least excited about because I can't imagine.
It's too much.
Like, yeah, it's too much. It's a one mana 1/1. It just costs one white. It's an uncommon for a creature type dog. It's called Selfless Savior. Sacrifice Selfless Savior. Another target creature you control gains indestructible until end of turn. And then the flavor text. This is the deep cut. She raised him from an orphan pup and gave him a life of love. With his last act, he thanked her.
This dog is so happy. Like the art is the dog like. Tail, like,
oh my gosh,
his tongue is
just like hanging out and he's like running around like, oh my God, he looks so happy too.
What are they thinking? Like you, if I had to sack, I seriously, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm not sacking it off.
Bye-bye, Bane Slayer Ranger. Too bad.
there go my ticks. Oh, well, you know, like, oh man, I can't believe that card. So
yeah, I know. I knew exactly which one you were talking about because I remember seeing that card too, and I was like, "Whoa, this is too real, man."
It was way, way, way too real. I know there's a bunch more on the Merrill.
There was another one we got right, Mashi.
What else did we get right? Jeez, we did a good job.
Yeah, we did not bad. Okay, this one, which I feel I really put on my conspiracy theory hat for this one, but it actually worked out. Hold on, let me find it on the list. Where is it? A non-evergreen enchantment subtype returns shrines.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Because we saw those coming. They were in the historic expansion, right?
Yeah. So that's why I was saying it makes sense that maybe it's shrines because they're shrines to historic and that makes sense. So as it turns out, it was actually shrines. We weren't just like making things up.
Guess what? Shrines still suck. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they're like kind of medium. Then there were some that there was just no way we were ever going to get. This one, a card that's never been reprinted, which has a 2, 3, 5, and 6 all appear on the card. It was Massacre Worm.
You know what? That's fair. Like, it's crazy we're never going to get it, but I'm not salty about. There's two of them that I'm salty about, okay? One, two cards played in tournaments that have been reprinted over 20 times with at least 5 different pieces of art. Shock and Duress. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Stop wasting my time.
That sounded so much more exciting than it was actually going to be. They're like, it was just like, oh, this is going to be really cool. And then it was just really lame.
They're both in standard right now. Yes. Like, come on. Like, who cares? And then the other one, and the one that I really, I saw this and I was like, I actually just was like, calm down, was a card from the Time Spiral Time Shifted sheet. And it's freaking Tormod's Crypt.
I was so disappointed. I can't tell you. Because when the full spoiler came out, I was like, chat, because I was live when it happened. I was like, chat, what was the card? What was the card from the Time Shifted cheat? And they're like, Tormod's Crypt. Just like, what?
So
if you don't know Tormod's Crypt, it's been reprinted a million times. It's really not a very exciting card. Here, let me read it to you. It is a 0 mana enchantment, or sorry, artifact.
Artifact, yeah.
That has the ability. It's a tap and sack tap ability. Sack. Sacrifice Tormod's Crypt to remove all cards from target player's graveyard from the game. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. In a world where we have things like Grafdigger's Cage and Soul Guide Lantern and, you know, it's just this. Oh, my God. I know it's stupid, but in my head, I was like, oh, they're bringing back a Future Shifted card. He got me. He fooled me. Because, you know,
I thought it was going to be something sweet. And then I was like, wait. Tormod's Crypt.
So yeah, I when I saw that in the show notes, I was like, So a good note to go out on for this week's Magic FM. Thank you so much for joining us. We had a very long, circuitous route.
Oh, wow. It was an adventure to get to the end.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us on this adventure. As always, we are on Twitter at Magic FM Podcast. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/channelfireball or on channelfireball.com itself. Both the video version of this and the audio version are available to you there. I am Mashi Scanlon, the guy on the left, at Mashi Scanlon across all social media platforms. She is Gabby Spartz, at Gabby Spartz across all social media platforms. Also on twitch.tv/Gabby Spartz 5 days a week, right? You're Monday through Friday, you're on there.
Yep,
right, Gabby?
Indeed.
So check her out. It's a fun ride. It's a great community. You have one of the best. Like, you really,
I love my stream community. I honestly,
yeah, your stream community,
it's so good. It's great.
Those things can go real bad real quick, and the Viper Pit is a good place to be. So, yeah. I'm all about it. So thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll be back next week. Until then, be wonderful to yourselves and be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye. See you later.